This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. It's a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure the people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure the people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there making sure the people can get their snack on this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure the people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry, all my local 613 IBEW workers out there this morning. Appreciate you. Shout out to all my local hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear load truck drivers out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local hospitality workers, hotel workers, all my local funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, party people, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Going to talk a lot about the Atlanta Falcons this morning, and that is exactly where we are going to start as the offseason starts to heat up. Yesterday was the day that teams could start franchise tagging players. Now, the Falcons, I don't think, are going to be in position. They're not in position to have to franchise tag anybody as of right now. So that doesn't necessarily apply to the Falcons. However, I was reading an article yesterday from Matt Bowen of ESPN. And a few weeks ago, he put out his list of top 50 free agents. And he also got some help from Jeremy Fowler about, you know, what's the latest he heard on these free agents and where they possibly could end up. Well, they updated this list and as far as the rankings go, and they also put out, they added to the list where they think the best landing spots are for these guys. And so if you remember, we talked about this list when it first came out. And when it first came out, Falcons center Drew Dahlman was on that list. He still is on the list, but he actually moved up. He was first at 27 on the list, moved up to 26. And now they have a landing spot for Drew Dorman that may surprise you. Now, before I tell you his landing spot, I will tell you that he does have guys on here that are free agents going back to their team that they are currently, I guess you could say still on because they're not technically free agents yet, I guess. But anywho, the point is he has a guy like Zach Bond going back to the Eagles, and he has the Eagles as Zach Bond's best fit. So it's not like he's choosing a new home for all of these free agents. He has guys going back to the team they were on prior in years past, or last year, I should say. So with that being said, he has the best landing spot for Drew Dorman, not returning to the Falcons, where he's had some success, but he has Drew Dorman's best fit with the Chicago Bears. That's right. He has Drew Dorman going to Chicago, and he thinks the Bears is the best fit for him. So, again, like I told you, he's got him ranked 26th out of his top 50 free agents that he ranks. He ranks him 26th, and this is what he had to say about Drew Dorman. He says, quote, "I matched Trey Smith to the Bears, but this team can't stop there this spring. Let's also put Dorman, the top center in free agency, next to Smith. Dorman wins his assignments with movement and leverage to offset a smaller frame, 6'3", 300 pounds. That's what Dorman is. He's a technician on the tape, best suited for the zone run game, and his pass block win rate of 95.1% ranked 9th among centers with at least 500 snaps. Now, he does also point out he's missed time due to an ankle injury, though. So, look, one, it's good to hear other people say nice stuff about Drew Dorman and the Falcons offensive line and the Falcons overall. But the Bears, I don't want Drew Dorman going to the Bears. Now, look, you can ask yourself as a Falcons fan, is Drew Dorman going to be worth the money that he could possibly receive in free agency? Because as you heard me read from Matt Bowen's blurb excerpt there, he is looked at as the top center in free agency. And when you're the top guy at your position in free agency and even one of the top dudes in free agency period, and like I told you, Matt Bowen has him ranked 26th out of the top 50 free agents. So he's right below that upper half, literally one spot below that upper half. And with that, that does bring up the question, is a team like the Bears who feel like they have a window to get to the postseason and accomplish some things while their rookie quarterback, Caleb Williams, is on a rookie deal, do they feel like we have a window to get some things done here? Let's maybe overpay this guy a little bit. We know we could probably get him for this, but we're going to throw in just a little bit extra just to make sure we get him. Is a team like the Chicago Bears willing to do that? And if they are, how much are the Falcons willing to pay to keep that continuity on the offensive line and bring back Drew Dorman? Because he's the only guy that is in question and not under contract for next season when it comes to this Falcons offensive line. Jake Matthews signed. Matthew Bergeron still on his rookie deal. Obviously, Drew Dorman, we're talking about him now. Then Chris Lindstrom signed. Caleb McGarry signed. So Drew Dorman's the only guy in question. But are the Falcons willing to put out that money? And how much money are they willing to put out for a guy like Drew Dorman? That's the main question now. And I think they're willing to spend money on Drew. I don't think that's necessarily a question. But I do seriously think about, could the Falcons get outbid for Drew Dorman? And I don't think that's out the question. Again, Drew Dorman's good. You got a good, you know, we got a good offensive line. This isn't the Falcons offensive line of old where you felt like, oh, you know, we got some kind of, you know, average Joes. No, we got some good players on this offensive line. Chris Lindstrom's a perennial Pro Bowler at this point. Jake Matthews is Mr. Reliable at left tackle. And Matthew Bergeron seems like a up-and-coming left guard. And Caleb McGarry is coming off one of the best seasons he's had in his career. So, again, you got a pretty good offensive line. You want to keep that together, but how much are you willing to pay, again, for a guy like Drew Dolman? Do the Falcons feel like there is a upgrade to be made at that position? Do the Falcons feel like there is a guy out there who upgrades the Falcons' offensive line and upgrades the center position? If the word on the street is Drew Dolman's the best center in free agency, I don't know. Now, that doesn't mean you can't upgrade that position. You can go and try and trade for somebody, but you don't really want to give up any more draft capital. You got five picks as it is already, so you don't want to give up any more picks. So there could be a realistic situation where the Falcons maybe get outbid for Drew Dolman, where it's a point like, man, these guys, and let's just say the Bears for this conversation and for this scenario, because the Bears are the team that Matt Bowen linked Drew Dolman to. Let's just say for this example, for the sake of conversation, the Bears are willing to pay Drew Dolman, again, a little bit more than he's expected to get. And I think Drew Dolman's expected to get around, like, what, 20-something million? I got to look at Spotrac here, and I'll pull that up for you in just a second. But if the Bears come at Drew Dolman with a lucrative offer, are the Falcons going to be like, that's a little pricey. I don't know if we're willing to pay all that. Or they're going to look at it like, no, this is our guy. We're going to be ready to bring him back. That's very, very strong possibility that they may lose him in free agency. We'll see. But Drew Dolman, let's see what he is projected to get here. I'm trying to find. Actually, I got to go to a different thing. I'll get it for you here in just a second. But it is an interesting conversation. While I pull that up, there is more actually to this Matt Bowen article. And ranked at 37, he had linebacker who played for the New York Jets last year. I think he was drafted by the Jets. I'll have to double check that as well. But Jameon Sherwood, the linebacker for the Jets, he's got him ranked 37 out of his top 50 free agents. And he has the best landing spot for Sherwood as, you guessed it, the Atlanta Falcons. So this is what he had to, real quick before we go back to Drew Dolman for a quick second. Let me give you what Bowen said on Sherwood. He said, Sherwood could follow new Falcons defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich from New York to Atlanta, a three-down linebacker who is trending up at this stage of his career. Sherwood posted 154 tackles, 10 tackles for a loss, and three pass breakups with the Jets last season. He can play downhill with speed, cutting off the ball and pursuing the edges. Falcons need playmakers on defense. Yes, we do, and we got a lot of free agents on defense as well. One of those free agents being Nate Landman, the landmine. And while we all love Nate Landman, we all love the landmine, I do think there can be a upgrade made at that position, and I think Sherwood could be that upgrade. But again, this goes back to the conversation about Drew Dolman. How much are you willing to pay for Drew Dolman? How much are you willing to pay for Sherwood? Because while Sherwood would be an upgrade, probably going to have to pay a little bit more for him, I imagine, than you have to pay for a guy like Nate Landman, who you know can do the job, but do you want to make that upgrade? Are you willing to pay for that upgrade? And the Falcons have more than one position, more than a couple positions that they got to figure out. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Drew Dolman. Are they going to pay him? And we just talked about that. And then you got a whole slew of free agents on the defensive side of the ball. So it's not like you just got to pay one guy or two guys and be like, all right, we're done. Everybody else is good. We're cool. No, you got a lot of guys you got to make decisions on when it comes to defensive free agents. Now, there are some ways you can save some money, and some of those ways you can save money are maybe something that the Falcons want to do, maybe some of the things they don't want to do. Like, you can save money by cutting David Onyemata. I could definitely see the Falcons do that. Another way you could save money is by cutting Grady Jarrett. I don't know if the Falcons want to cut Grady Jarrett, though. Maybe they can find a way to either extend him or restructure his deal, but that's something the Falcons have to think about. Terry Fontenot as well. So Terry Fontenot's got a lot to think about this offseason when you boil it down. A lot of choices to be made on defensive free agents and a big decision on Drew Dahlman as well. And I would love to have, just to go back to Sherwood, I would love to have Sherwood here. He seems like, again, he's playing some of the best ball in his career right now, really getting to that prime of his career where he's going to be really productive. But you got to pay for some of your own guys, and how many of your own guys do you want to bring back before you can start thinking about upgrading at any position? So a lot to be thought about when it comes to Falcons free agency. Real quick, I do want to get you that number on Drew Dahlman. Let's see what we got here. Oh, hold on. Might have to get to you to the break. Hold on. All right, here we go. Centers. Pardon me for working through this right now. He didn't pop. Oh, there it is. It's not showing well his expected contract. I'll work on that during the break, and I'll get it to you after we come back. But when we come back here, I'll give you that expected number for Drew Dahlman. And also, we got to talk about the Braves. Do you view this Braves offseason as a success when it comes to moves made? How would you grade this Braves offseason? Well, somebody graded it, and might be a little unfair. We'll talk about it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Wednesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. I hope y'all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in right now, that are on their way to work, already at work. Appreciate you tuning in. Shout out to all my people that are already at the gym or on their way to the gym that are tuned in right now. Appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app. That way, if you are not usually an early riser, but today is some sort of special day, maybe you're on your way to the airport for travel or whatever the case may be, and you like the show, but you're like, man, I'm not usually up at 5 a.m. I'm not usually an early riser. Guess what? You don't have to be. All you got to do is download the free Odyssey app. When you download it, search 92.9 The Game and then find my show, The Hometown Take, and you can listen to my show at 5 p.m. if you want to. You can listen at maybe 8 a.m. when you get to work or maybe on your way to work or getting ready for work, or 10 a.m. once you get settled in at work, or, like I said, 5 p.m. when you're on your way home from work, or 7 p.m. when you get home from work. Hopefully, maybe you get home a little bit sooner than that, but you get the idea. The point is, all you got to do is download the free Odyssey app on your smartphone and all your smart devices, and you can go back and listen to my show and all the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in their entirety. And you can also go back and listen to your favorite segments. You can go back and listen to interviews. You can do all that and more with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. All right. I did find what I was looking for on Drew Dahlman. So the projected contract for Drew Dahlman seems to be somewhere around like a 4-year, $46 million deal, 4-year, $48 million deal, or like a 3-year, $24 million deal with somewhere in the range of like 15 to 20 million guaranteed, somewhere around there. So it's either going to be like a four-year, $48 million, $46 million deal, like a 3-year, $24 million deal, somewhere around there with, again, about 15 to 20 million guaranteed, and he'll be making about around 11 to 12 million per year. Okay? So that seems, again, very, very doable, I think, for the Falcons. But again, will a team like the Chicago Bears, who Matt Bowen, like we talked about in the opening segment, like he linked, or he said the best fit. He didn't link. He said the best fit. I guess link is the same thing. But anywho, he said the best fit, in his opinion, was the Chicago Bears for Drew Dahlman. And if the Chicago Bears are, in fact, interested in Drew Dahlman, and again, they have a young quarterback, so they got some money to blow, are they going to be willing to maybe slightly overpay for a guy like Drew Dahlman? And if they are the Falcons willing to match that price to keep that continuity on a very good offensive line? And are they willing to bring back a very good offensive lineman in Drew Dahlman at maybe a steeper price than they expected to be paying for his services? So that is going to be, again, it's going to be a very, very telling offseason, I think, for the Atlanta Falcons, because you got a lot of decisions to make. You got that decision to make on Drew Dahlman, like we've been talking about. You have a slew of free agents you have to make a decision on the defensive side of the ball. And we also talked about how in that Matt Bowen piece, he had Drew Dahlman ranked the 26th best free agent. And again, had him said the best fit for him was the Bears. Are the Falcons going to bring him back? And then also they had Jameis Sherwood, linebacker for the Jets, who was a free agent. He had him ranked as the 37th best free agent out of the top 50. And he said the best fit for him was the Falcons. Obviously, with Jeff Ulbrich, who was just with the Jets, coming back to Atlanta, says it would be good if Sherwood followed Ulbrich from New York to Atlanta. And that would definitely, I think, in my mind, be an upgrade for the Falcons at linebacker. Nate Landman, also a free agent. So you could swap Sherwood in for Nate Landman, but with that upgrade, you're going to have to pay a little bit more of a price. Are the Falcons willing to do that when they have, again, guys like Drew Dahlman to try and pay for, when they have a lot of other defensive free agents too? So Falcons have a lot of choices to make. Again, you can save some money if you cut David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett. And while it may be an easier decision to decide to cut Onyemata, are they willing to part ways with Grady Jarrett? Do they want to part ways with Grady Jarrett? Or maybe do they try to restructure his contract? So a lot of decisions on the table for Terry Fontenot and that Falcons front office. But time will tell, and we'll see what ends up happening on that front. But it's going to be a very telling and interesting, I think, offseason for the Atlanta Falcons. So moving on to the Atlanta Braves. They got spring training underway, as we all know. They're down in Northport getting ready for their 2025 campaign. And hopefully this is a season for the Braves that, for one, they're just healthy. Healthy for the most part. Like, I know injuries are a part of the game and there could be a little nagging stuff here and there. But, I mean, can we just not have guys out for, like, weeks and months at a time? Because that's what it felt like all of last season felt like. Felt like, oh, one guy comes back, Sean Murphy comes back. Well, we'll just take Austin Riley away for a couple of weeks or a month or so. Oh, Austin Riley's ready to come back now. Okay, we'll take Ozzie away for a little bit. Oh, guess what? By the way, Spencer Stride is out for the rest of the season. Oh, Ozzie's back. Okay, we'll take away Michael Harris for a little bit as well, too. Oh, and then, by the way, Ron Acuña Jr., he tore his ACL again. He's done for the season. Oh, and Michael Harris is back. Okay, it's time for Ozzie to go out again. That's what it felt like the Braves season was all season long. You get one guy healthy, you lose a guy. And it just health. Health, health, health is the name of the game this season for the Braves. If they stay healthy, they can still be, they still are, when healthy, one of the best teams in Major League Baseball, because even with the injury bug biting the Braves up and down last season, they still found a way to win 89 games and make it to the postseason. Now, they didn't last long in the postseason, but they made it. And that seemed like a far cry at times. So if the Braves can find a way to stay healthy, they'll be good. But I saw this article from The Athletic yesterday, and it was from one, it was Chris Jennings. I got to find the other names here, but it was Chad Jennings. Excuse me, I said Chris Jennings, but it was Chad Jennings was one of the guys that wrote it, and I got to find the other names. I'll have them there for you for a second. But anywho, they graded all the, they gave all the MLB teams a offseason grade, and Chad Jennings, that's, I'm stuck on him because I remember he's the one that graded the Braves. He graded the NL East, and he gave the Braves an offseason grade of a C. And I feel like that's a little unfair. Like, I get it somewhat. They didn't do a whole lot, and there were things they could have done. Obviously, they let Max Fried walk. Obviously, they let Travis d'Arnaud go. They let Charlie Morton go. But a C just seems kind of harsh to me because, for one, we have to remember the Braves got so many guys tied up that they don't have to make a lot of moves. Like, their team for the next few years is built. It's good. The core of the Braves team, the nucleus of the Braves team is signed, sealed, and delivered. Like, they're here. Austin Riley, signed. Spencer Strider, signed. Ronald Acuña Jr., signed. Ozzy, signed. Michael Harris, signed. Yerickson Profar is now signed. Sean Murphy, signed. Matt Olson, signed. I mean, their whole lineup is pretty much good to go. So when you think about that, it's like, what are they really doing during the offseason? They're making little tweaks and stuff here. And yes, I guess the C is coming from not re-signing Max Fried, maybe. Maybe if you bring him back, then you go up a letter grade and go to a B or something like that. But a C just does to me feel a little unfair because, again, most of your guys are signed. You got everybody under contract. Alex Anthopoulos has done such a great job not only getting all these dudes under contract, but getting all these dudes under contract on team-friendly deals. And we've talked about that time and time again, how much of a wizard Alex Anthopoulos is. So, I don't know. C just feels kind of wrong to me. So, it was Chad Jennings, Aaron Gleeman, and Tim Britton of The Athletic that came together to hand out offseason grades for every MLB team. And I told you already that Chad Jennings graded the Braves. I just wanted to give due to Aaron Gleeman and Tim Britton. But, again, key additions, Yerickson Profar, Nick Allen, Anderson Pillar. Key departures, obviously, I touched on them. Max Fried, Charlie Morton, Travis d'Arnaud. Look, I don't think, for one, you can say what you want about the Max Fried signing. It just felt like we knew, as Braves fans, they weren't going to bring Max Fried back because they let him get to free agency. And when you get to free agency as a Brave with Alex Anthopoulos as the GM, that means you're probably not coming back, because if you were coming back, you would have been signed already and you wouldn't even have gotten to free agency. But besides all that, I don't think they should have been, I don't think any letter grades for the sake of this conversation should have been taken away for letting Travis d'Arnaud walk. He was older and the Braves didn't need two catchers anymore. Like, they don't need two catchers anymore. This is Sean Murphy's deal. You're not going to bring Travis d'Arnaud back for a number that is, you know, you're not giving Travis d'Arnaud starting catcher money anymore. That's just not what you're going to do. You got Sean Murphy. You got Sean Murphy locked up. Once Travis d'Arnaud hit free agency, we knew what it was. And it was great to have both of those guys for the time that we did, but you didn't need Travis d'Arnaud anymore. So I don't think that should be looked at as a bad thing that you didn't bring Travis d'Arnaud back. And as for Charlie Morton, you could debate whether or not you needed to bring Charlie Morton back. But if they believe in these other guys, if they believe in these guys like A.J. Smith-Shawver, they believe in guys like Ian Anderson to make his comeback, if they believe in guys like Hurston Waldrop, then Charlie Morton, he was still solid, but while we knew he was going to give us five innings, we didn't know how many runs he was going to give up. He was good to give up anywhere between three and five runs per five. And that, I don't think, just quite cut it anymore for the Braves as far as wanting to pay Charlie Morton whatever he was going to want to be paid for the production that he's given. So, again, if you want to dox the Braves from an A to a B for not bringing back Max Fried, I get it. But not bringing back Charlie Morton or Travis d'Arnaud, not a big deal to me. And then, again, if you want to say something about the Braves not bringing in a starting pitcher, okay. But they got guys that they believe in now. And they still got time to make a move, technically. So, I don't know. A C just felt kind of low to me. I don't know. You can let me know what you think. You can tweet at me, DM me, @_DylanMatthews, and give me your thoughts on that. The C too low for the Braves offseason grade. Let me know what you think. All right. When we come back here on the Hometown Take, let's head back to the gridiron. Talk some NFL football. Former college head coach, now joining a NFL coaching staff. We'll talk about that next here on the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on the Abbey. Get over the hump day Wednesday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. I hope y'all are doing well. Hope y'all are staying fly out there on a Wednesday. Shout out to all my people that are tuned in, tapped in on their way to work or already at work. All my people that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms and follow myself at @_DylanMatthews on all social media platforms as well. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app on all your smartphones and smart devices today. Let's get into the NFL a little bit. I told you earlier that yesterday was the day that teams could start franchise tagging players, and it doesn't seem like anybody notable, at least. I didn't see anybody, period, that was franchise tagged yesterday. But that time is now. So between now and I forget when the deadline was, forgive me. But starting yesterday, teams could start franchise tagging players. But we did have some news come down the pipeline from the NFL. And one being a former college football head coach is joining an NFL coaching staff. And that would be David Shaw, the former Stanford head coach, is joining the Detroit Lions 2025 coaching staff. It's going to actually be his first formal coaching job since serving as Stanford's head coach from 2011 to 2022. So this was announced yesterday. But Shaw was hired by the Lions as their passing game coordinator. And again, this is a new staff after Ben Johnson left. So this is a revamped offensive staff that is going to be headed by new offensive coordinator John Morton. And Shaw now is going to be, again, the team's passing game coordinator. Shaw, if you don't know, is the all-time winningest head coach for Stanford. Won four Pac-12 Coach of the Year awards. And as I said, left the college ranks in 2022. Returned to the NFL last year. He actually worked with the Broncos last year in their front office as a senior personnel executive, but now is back again as the Lions passing game coordinator. Until last year, he hadn't coached in the NFL since 2025, and I guess he technically still hasn't coached in the NFL since 2005. I think I might have said 2025, but hasn't coached in the NFL since 2005 and is going to be entering his 10th coaching season in the pro ranks. He was the wide receivers coach back in 2005 for the Ravens and was also their quarterbacks and wide receivers coach from 2002 to 2004. So, look, very good get for the Lions, in my opinion, because obviously hard to lose a guy like Ben Johnson, but he goes on to be the head coach of the Bears. And I think replacing a guy, well, he's not becoming the offensive coordinator, but putting a guy who has been a former head coach, a successful head coach, even though it was in the college ranks, still a successful head coach. And he does obviously have, as I told you, NFL experience. I think that is a good thing for the I think that's a good thing for the Lions. You get David Shaw, obviously Morton being the OC, and to see if you can get that offense back to where it was these past few years under Ben Johnson. And even though it may look different, still want to have that offense be as explosive as it has been in years past under Johnson. So I think it's a very good get for the Detroit Lions. But David Shaw, the former Stanford coach, headed to Detroit to be their passing game coordinator. Some other news here. Let's actually head to the NFC South for a bit. How about the Panthers re-signing the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, to a two-year contract to continue to be the team's backup quarterback? And, you know, apparently he has been pretty instrumental in the development of Bryce Young. Obviously, we saw Bryce Young started, got benched for Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton came in for a little bit, and then we saw Bryce Young come back, and when he came back, he looked even better. He looked good. He looked really good. I mean, we saw what he unfortunately did to that Falcons defense in the last game of the season, but, you know, don't want to reopen that wound. Anywho, they feel like Andy Dalton has been a good voice and a good mentor and, again, has been instrumental in the development of Bryce Young. So they're saying, hey, Red Rifle, stick around. We know you can still play if we really need you to, and you've been helping out Andy Dalton. So we'll keep you around, and we'll keep you as a backup QB. And I think for Andy Dalton, if I'm him, I'm like, heck yeah. I get to get paid for at least two more years for what? It was $8 million. So it's a $8 million contract, includes $6 million guaranteed, and has a max value of $10 million. Heck yeah, I'm getting $6 million guaranteed. I'll take it just to be the backup QB and make sure Bryce Young continues to develop the way he's supposed to. I'll take that all day if I'm Andy Dalton. Maybe have to get in there and play, but maybe not. So I'm definitely taking that if I'm Andy Dalton. Good for him, man. Good for him. Felt like, you know, he maybe, I don't know, he had plenty of time to try and get things done in Cincinnati, but, you know, things didn't end quite well in Cincinnati, I guess, the way he would want it to. And now he's getting a chance to extend his career at least a little bit as a backup quarterback. And so he'll be doing that in Carolina. But he was scheduled to become an unrestricted free agent next month. And he didn't make it clear after the season that his preference was to return to Carolina. And so they made it happen. So this is what Bryce Young had to say in the late part of this past season. He said, quote, "Me and Andy are super close. From when I first got here, just being able to talk with him through things, him having perspective on a situation that I had never been a part of, I was always learning, always having conversations." He also went on to say, you can't add up the hours we spent here, and just being able to have someone that you can bounce stuff off of, ask how you see things, whether it's X's and O's, or it's a philosophical thing or stuff outside of football, somewhere nuanced in between. He is always there and just trying to help me out. So, Bryce, Andy, got a good relationship. And, you know, I bring this up because this makes me think about the Kirk Cousins and Michael Penix situation. I wish it could be like this. And not obviously talking about their relationship, because I think Michael Penix and Kirk Cousins' relationship, from what we heard, at least, was something close to this. I don't know if they were quite as close as maybe Andy Dalton and Bryce Young were, because, again, Andy Dalton was brought in to be a backup quarterback, not be the franchise quarterback for a few years for the Panthers. He was brought in knowing he was going to be the backup quarterback behind Bryce Young. But you know, I think Kirk did a good job of, even when he was starting and when he was benched, I think he continued to do a good job of trying to help out Michael Penix and help with his development. So I don't think, when I say I wish we had that, I don't mean as far as their relationship. I mean as far as, you know, only having to pay the veteran $4 million a year, maybe $5 million a year at most, instead of, you know, the other way around where the guy who's starting is, you know, on the rookie deal and we're paying the backup all that money. But, hey, it is what it is at this point. So, but good for the Red Rifle. Going back to the Panthers on a two-year, again, $8 million deal, $6 million guaranteed, and he can get as much as $10 million from these next two seasons. I did also want to bring this up. This is NFL draft related. Cam Ward saying, talking about the teams that may not draft him, he says, quote, "I'll remember." How do you feel about that? So Cam Ward hasn't decided if he's going to throw at the NFL Combine next week. The quarterback does know, however, how he's going to answer any scout team or team personnel who ask him if he, you know, quit on the Hurricanes by not finishing his final game with the team. He says this: "Okay, you're either going to draft me or not." And then this is what Ward said Monday night before receiving the Davey O'Brien Award as the nation's top college quarterback. He said, quote, "If you don't draft me, that's your fault. You've got to remember, you're the same team that's got to play me for the rest of my career, and I'll remember that." So some big words coming from Cam Ward there. And we all know that he has been criticized online. People have been suggesting that he quit on the Hurricanes after he didn't play in the second half of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Miami lost 42-41 to Iowa State. And look, I don't think that that was that big of a deal. I think that was something that him and his coach had already talked about, that he wanted to get out there for a little bit. And once he felt like he did what he had to do, he left the game and didn't want to further any injury. Look, he was thinking about the next level, and I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him at all. So we all know that Cam Ward could, in fact, actually end up being the first quarterback taken off the board and maybe even the first overall pick in April's draft. So we'll see whether or not that ends up happening. But I don't think him saying that helps or hurts his draft stock. I don't think it does either one. I think teams just like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. And, you know, some teams may look at it as like, yeah, I love that intensity. I love that grit. I love that, you know, that chip that you'll have on your shoulder. And some teams might be looking at it as like, you know, that's fine. He can say that. He's totally entitled to that. So, again, I'm not sure if this helps or hurts his draft stock in either way. But Cam Ward getting a little spicy when talking about teams, NFL teams that may or may not skip over him when it comes to the NFL draft. Couple minutes here. We got one more story to get to here. And the NFL has decided to rescind Joe Mixon's fine that he got earlier this year for criticizing officials. So he won his appeal over a $25,000 fine he received following Houston's playoff loss to the Chiefs in the divisional round of this year's playoffs. And appeals officer Chris Palmer explained in his letter to Mixon that after going through the hearing process that happened on January 30th, he found that Mixon, quote, did not necessarily publicly criticize the officials. And the appeal officer Chris Palmer also said that, quote, "During the appeal hearing, you stated what you meant by your statements referring to the officials. As you know, statements can be interpreted differently by every individual, and it seems like you clearly understand the weight and detriment of public criticism towards officials can be, given how impactful your platform is as a player, which I appreciate." And so he's going to get his $25,000 back. Good for Joe Mixon. However, for Texan defensive end Will Anderson Jr., he also received a $25,000 fine following the playoff loss, the Texans' playoff loss to the Chiefs. It seems like actually his appeal is going to be overturned too. I misread that. So it seems like his appeal and his fine also overturned, and that's what came out of a source told ESPN that yesterday. And the quote is, quote, we knew it was going to be, this is what Anderson said, quote, we knew it was going to be us versus the refs going into this game. And Anderson also, like I said, appealed and had his fine overturned. Not sure how that happened. That seemed to be pretty critical of the officials to me. But, hey, maybe they just feel bad and like, you know what? They lost and, you know, there was a lot of noise made about the Chiefs getting help from the refs. We're going to let them boys have their $25K back. Maybe they just felt bad. And it was like, you know what? Let's just throw them a bone and let the guys have their money. Maybe that's what it was. So I don't know. But anywho, that is my time. A few NFL headlines for you there. We'll be back tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp. The Hawks get going tomorrow. We'll talk about their very, very important first, five games out of the All-Star break. That'll start tomorrow. We'll get into that. Continue to talk about NFL, free agency, the draft, get into the Braves because their first spring training game is approaching as well. All of that and more on a Thursday edition of the Hometown Take, 5 a.m. sharp tomorrow. But coming up next, it is the Morning Shift with Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson. Until I talk to you guys tomorrow, peace.